Anyway, let's move to our regular agenda. And again, because we have another elected official here, let's take item 560 first.
560, authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Metro and associated easement documents for the One North Nature in Neighborhoods project.
Good morning. Good morning, Councilor Harrington. And we have a presentation and some invited testimony this morning on this item, so thank you all for being here. Who wants to kick it off?
I'll kick it off. Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. I'm David McEldowney. I'm the right-of-way acquisition supervisor for PBOT. And the ordinance before you today is a result of a partnership between PBOT, Metro, Catlin Gable School, and the developers of the One North project, which is a mixed-use development on North Fremont Street between North Williams and North Vancouver. Catlin Gable School, in coordination with the developer, applied for and received a Nature in the Neighborhoods grant from Metro to create a 14,000-square-foot public courtyard at One North. Metro's grant requires the developer to convey a public access easement for the courtyard, and a government sponsor must be the ultimate holder of the easement. Since there is already a public alley going through the center of the courtyard, PBOT has agreed to act as the government sponsor for this easement. Under the terms of an IGA with Metro, PBOT will acquire the easement from Catlin Gable through an assignment of the courtyard easement. Under the terms of the IGA, the easement, PBOT expects that the property owners will perform essentially all maintenance in the easement area and will be responsible for abating any nuisances in the easement area. Accordingly, PBOT's future expenses would be minimal, if any. At this point, I'll turn it over to Councillor Harrington.
Thank you. Good morning. Catherine Harrington, Metro Councillor. I had the honor of serving on the Nature and Neighborhoods Review Capital Grants Review Committee that reviewed this application and advanced it along with a slate of applications to the Metro Council for full funding approval. At Metro, we've learned that creative placemaking is much more than building a new plaza or park. Placemaking is about engaging people, the people that live and have a history in the neighborhood. Today, you're going to hear a story of placemaking on North Williams. It involves unlikely players, such as two developers and a private school. These partners have brought an authentic desire to make the courtyard at One North a true community space. They have a story to tell, and I hope you're as excited as I am to hear it today. We appreciate Catlin Gable's innovative vision for placemaking and their ability to build relationships with many community organizations to co-govern the activities that will happen in the courtyard. I want to thank the Portland Bureau of Transportation for accepting the public easement. This easement will provide the foundation of public ownership that this space deserves. Without this easement, the courtyard would just be another commercial space for building tenants. But with this easement, PBOT is participating in something far more innovative than meets the eye. By ensuring the continued use and maintenance of the space for neighborhood residents in perpetuity, the easement gives the community the authority to call this space theirs. What that will look like is beginning to take shape. I look forward to seeing how this space enriches people's experience of nature and strengthens a physical connection to the region's ecology by including native plants in the planters that reference the region's natural history, by incorporating ecological design solutions through the use of porous pavement and native plants, and by providing access to nature for people with disabilities. Metro's Nature and Neighborhoods capital grants implement long-term capital investment projects throughout the developed area of our region. These grants encourage groups and jurisdictions to seek creative solutions to challenges. Since 2006, those voter-supported funds have inspired community groups to partner for new projects across the Portland metropolitan region. We look forward to seeing how other leaders businesses, and community members across the metropolitan region and possibly across the country use this project as a model for employing new ways of working together to preserve our natural resources and improve the lives of residents simultaneously.
Great. Thank you. Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
Who'd like to go first? Ben, there's a button on the base of the microphone there. There you go.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Councilors, for making the time today to hear us. Appreciate the city process. Owen, next to me, Owen Gabbert, and I would like to also thank the many
folks. Just put
folks,
your name in the record, please.
Ben Kaiser, here in the city of Portland. Owen Gabbert and I would like to thank the many folks that were involved in making our One North project the most innovative, sustainable, and replicable project in the city. In a couple of weeks, in fact, we will be recognized for winning the Portland Business Journal's Sustainable Project of the Year. This award is quite an honor since we are in a city that leads the country in an upward spiral to use less energy, increase awareness of limited resources, and improve the overall public realm. We'd also like to thank the Life Change Church, which is our neighbor to the north, particularly Mark Strong, the pastor, and Jorel Waddell. Eric Lemelson, another team member, is not here. Nels, Owen's father. R&H Construction, Holst Architecture, Catlin Gable with George Zaninovich. Metro, particularly Mary Rose Navarro, who's in the audience today, as well as Councilor Harrington here, both critical members in this journey. Path Architecture, Kaiser Group. With this very group, it was the open and supportive collaboration that allowed this award-winning outcome. Prior to any pencils being lifted, the entire team assembled and began with a full-day eco-charrette. It was there that the team realized that by joining forces, we were able to achieve much more than by going it alone. The original decisions of timber framing for the entire project and a shared courtyard set off us all off on a path that has set a new citywide precedent for not only building typologies but also shared resources. The old approach to eco-districts has been supplanted by different ways to integrate a building's surroundings. Beyond just energy sharing, an eco-district can represent parking agreements between contiguous properties, business relationships, local community support systems, income stream enhancements, etc. With the widely accepted carbon sequestration attributes of building and timber, coupled with these innovative approaches to integrating local communities, One North heralds in a new eco-district, in our opinion. The Nature Neighborhoods program at Metro, coupled with the $420,000 grant, is what was needed to allow this development team to dedicate the 15,000-square-foot courtyard as a public space. This public plaza costs approximately $1.2 million to build and will be maintained by us, the property owners, in perpetuity. This means that the City of Portland was given a public plaza that is maintained by others for a total cost of less than 1.5 years of just the maintenance costs at Director's Park. As you're aware, PBOT was the recipient of the easement in order to make this grant process work. We approached the logical recipient, the Parks Bureau, at first, but were quickly dismissed for reasons we couldn't quite decipher. So I think going forward, something we could all learn from this, and I think this is replicable, I think the Parks Bureau would be the logical recipient. PBOT graciously stepped forward, but it wasn't without some difficulties on all of our parts because it didn't quite fit. But going forward, it would be great if the Parks Bureau picked this up. And as we spoke about the replicability of this entire process, it was very important to us. So that's why we suggest Parks Bureau going forward. And following up on just the eco-district, if I can just take a minute to go off topic a bit. We're presently, in my opinion, in a leadership vacuum in a lot of different bureaus in Portland. When we are working our hardest to make something great for the city, we are constantly met with obstacles and bureaucratic hurdles. The days of strong leadership that is able to make something happen seem to be gone in Portland. Whether due to the belief that everyone needs to weigh in on everything in our city, or whether we are all now afraid to make a decision for fear of reprisal, the process is essentially ground to a halt. We are all aware of the incredible line at the building permit department. We're all aware of the record-breaking backlog at design review. We're aware of the dysfunction at PBOT and PPS, as well as a number of other departments. In my opinion, what's lacking is leadership. The biggest fear that I have regarding this particular aspect is the present comprehensive plan work that is underway. At risk, as we speak, are the long-held density goals that Portland is known for. Due to everyone's voice being heard and every vegetable garden being important, every view being sacrosanct, and every parking space guaranteed, we are now collectively agreeing to back up 40 years of urban planning. As you know, FAR reductions citywide are on the table. it seems like that's going to actually happen. This is because during public testimony, everybody in the city stood before this council to complain about how they personally would be affected, how their personal gardens would lose sunlight, how their parking space in the public street would be lost, how their views would be compromised. What has been missing, in my opinion, has been the conversation of what is being lost by us all as a city when FAR is reduced. What has been missing is a strong leader in these conversations that is willing to take the heat, as past leaders have, for making decisions that are good for neighborhoods and not neighbors. Leaders willing to tell people that, yes, their private parking and public right-of-ways will likely disappear. Leaders willing to tell people that to live adjacent to what was long ago dedicated as a high-density and tall commercial corridor is, in fact, going to happen. Leaders willing to say what is good for our city 25 years from now as opposed to what is good for the neighbors today. We absolutely cannot, in my opinion, lower the FAR allowances in the city. There's no reason, and with global warming fully upon us, it is absolutely irresponsible. A healthy city heart and corridors with high density is without a doubt the most important thing that we can give to future generations. Downgrading these densities result one for one with urban sprawl. Urban sprawl further compromises public infrastructure, public transportation, and further consumes natural resources. And as you guys know, for the first time ever, a cruise ship is going through the Northwest Passage this summer. And that's just evidence that I think that this global warming is truly right. It's happening as we speak. So I think we as a city, as a way to continue to lead, should do everything we can to perpetuate the work of the last 50 years. But regardless of that ranting for a minute, we really are appreciative of everything that we've accomplished together on this process.
Yeah, Ben, you might want to, while you're here, actually stop in my office and talk to Camille Trummer, because I'm not sure where you got the impression that we're lowering FARs in the comp plan. So that's a longer conversation.
Sure. We'll get into that.
We just voted on that last week. We're going to vote on it again next week. It's actually going in the other direction. So
We'll get into it.
You might want to catch up on where the comp plan is,
all right,
because
we'll
the mixed use zoning project as well. Because if it's certainly not my intention, and I don't believe it's the rest of this council's intention to back up on our density objectives and our climate action plan.
It's the bonuses that get you back up above.
Recommendations that haven't yet been approved by the city council are just that.
So moving back to the subject at hand, I'm glad you raised the issue of parks being unwilling to take on the easement here. And so part of our concern is, as you know, there are many reasons, but part of the concern is that we don't have the capacity to take on management of a new park in this area. So my concern is, will there be signage that will say who to call if there are issues, and also to invite people in so that they do know that it's a public space and not a private space?
There's quite a bit of signage already in place, yeah, saying it's very public.
So, and what about security and who would cover, because the parks rangers will not be?
We're taking care of security and maintenance.
So there'll be a, on the sign, it'll say if there's a concern that they should call a private security number?
It's
the property manager's number.
And they're available?
Yeah.
The whole time. Great, right. Thank you.
Yeah. Gabbert, anything you want to add?
No, I just wanted to be present. Owen Gabbert, one of the developers, and to help answer any of those questions since I spent a fair amount of time going through the process. I think it's an interesting question, Commissioner Fritz, because we weren't looking for maintenance or security or anything. We were looking for a partner to take an easement, and that was the primary role we needed. So I think, you know, it's probably incumbent on us to help articulate that, but it would have been great to get to a place where we could have had that conversation, maybe at a level for someone who could make that approval. So I can appreciate the reluctance, but I think a lot of those issues are alleviated by the structure of how we've done our development and how the grant is structured.
We have a bit of a different opinion on that, but tell me, how was Catlin Gable involved? Because their school is not located near here, right?
Sure.
There's someone here.
There's going to be another panel.
Mayor,
I'll hold my questions.
May I just state an objection? We're out of sequence. Right. We've just spent 10 minutes on a rant that has nothing to do with this issue. And we've got about 20 people here who have signed up peacefully ahead of time to deal with another matter. And frankly, if this is going to continue much farther, I'm going to move that we continue.
All right. Now we have one more person, Catlin Gable.
But I'm inclined to continue it and not vote for it if this continues much longer, because I think it's disrespectful to the people that are actually ahead of the queue.
Thanks, Commissioner Fish. Let me. I'd like, if you don't mind, if I could introduce Catlin in place and give you a quick overview of what they do and help answer that question, and then let them talk, because I think that's going to be the most compelling part of our presentation. So to answer your question briefly, Catlin has a program called PLACE, which is an urban studies program, and that program is open to students from around the city. And so they became involved after we approached numerous neighborhood organizations and nonprofits about partnering. One thing that's great about nonprofits is they're very mission-driven, and we had a hard time finding a group that's mission fit what we were trying to do around this public plaza with nature and neighborhoods. So Catlin's urban studies program through PLACE was a good fit and also had already engaged in this neighborhood. So that is how we ended up with Catlin Gable as our partner, and more specifically PLACE, and you're going to hear a little bit more about that from Tim Bazemore and Tyler.
They should come on up then. Let's complete this.
Thank you.
It's like there's, you're going to come up as well. Why don't you guys yield and let
sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor, and good morning, Commissioners. I'm Tim Bazemore, the head of Catlin Gable School, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here with my friends, Dina and Tyler, this morning to share with you what I think is truly compelling about the opportunity to work with community partners in Northeast Portland here. We are grateful to PBOT and to Metro and to One North development team for providing the opportunity to have access to this public space and also some adjacent office space. We early in this conversation decided that rather than have this be a Catlin Gable outpost in Northeast Portland, in fact, it ought to be a community-driven use in this particular space here. So George Zinanovich, whom you know from our PLACE program, spent 9 months last year meeting with religious, civic, educational, and business leaders in the community and in the neighborhood, listening carefully, asking questions, learning, and acknowledging perceptions of a school like Catlin Gable School in certain parts of Portland itself. And what we heard is that we need to respect the history of the community, we need to respect the good efforts and impressive efforts already happening in terms of community development there, and that there was an opportunity here to partner with friends and neighbors to create a hub for youth leadership training and empowerment on a collective basis. So rather than creating a Catlin Gable School program, we've created a community coalition together as partners here with vision and a mission in this space called the Center, which is an acronym for Create, Engage, Notice, Empower, and Remember. So while Catlin Gable itself is the recipients of the grant in this particular case, we actually only occupy one seat at the table with five community partners: iUrban Teen, Kairos PDX Charter School, the Black United Fund, Urban League, and De La Salle North. We've created a low-commitment, high-impact co-governance model here that's really intended to benefit young people, young adults, and youth and teens from all over the city of Portland. We think this is the way we all should be working together in this city of ours that we share as citizens and community friends. And I'm going to stop there and hand it off to Dina Pirro from iUrban Teen and Tyler White from De La Salle North, who can share with you what's actually happening there, which is the most exciting part of it.
Yes, Mayor and Commissioners, it's so nice to be here this morning. And I'm very honored to actually talk about this collaborative that we have. I strongly believe in collective impact. And sometimes it's hard to make that happen in places where you're working with other nonprofits. But we're able to do that. Is it perfect right now? No, it's not, but we're heading in that direction. iUrban Teen, as you know, is a STEM plus arts program with an intentional reach to youth of color. We're in four states and growing to a national model. However, we don't have space, you know, which was really difficult for me. So when this opportunity came to me last year, when George shared what he was trying to do, it was perfect for us. Because now our youth have a location where we can do our coding camps, our teen council meetings, our parent meetings. You know, all of our GIS mapping trainings can be right there. We have a designated space where I'm not going out begging for space from different industries or schools. So I am quite honored to have this. And the other nice part about it is we're still kind of going through our collective impact work with the other organizations, but just having them as my resource to help share our information with their networks and I theirs is priceless. I really commend them for creating this space.
Good morning.
Hi, Tyler White, and I am a sophomore at De La Salle North Catholic High School, and I have the honor of running the I Love This Place blog, which is dedicated to telling the stories and narratives of gentrification, displacement, and community change through the people who experience them. And we've interviewed everyone from poets to youth poets to even the mayor himself. So it's been a very amazing experience, and I've got to travel all over the city and really get to examine and see the differences between people in response to where they live and the things that they have gone through, but then also see the similarities in that too. And also at the center, I am the youth coordinator, and I have the I also have the honor of working with a group of students from Kairos PDX where we do a mutual mentorship program. And we decided to try to get together and try to figure out some service project, and they identified the biggest problem in their community being love, which is actually a very interesting issue that 5 to 8-year-olds identified themselves. And what we've done is we decided to do some kind of an art project where we cut out little hearts and we put it on rocks, and we're going to write a very nice letter to all the different community participants in the area, so whether that be businesses or homeowners themselves. And just this experience has been amazing. And actually last night we just had a discussion with myself, a student from Catlin Gable, and a student from Oregon Islamic Academy. And it was a discussion that we organized, planned, and facilitated about the N-word. And we had over 5 schools there and almost 50 people. And we had the ability to utilize the courtyard with doing some kind of an interactive piece where we asked people questions in regards to the N-word and had them step to the line if they could understand it. So the space and the opportunity that I've garnered from being a part of this coalition and just having the opportunity to know a lot of these people has been amazing, and it's extending out to more high schoolers and more youth in general, where it's not just focused on the different kids who come from these coalitions and the coalition members and the organizations that they are a part of. So truly, truly, thank you, guys.
Great. Thanks for your leadership.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to come today. That was very compelling.
Yeah, excellent work. All right. Anyone else want to speak on this item?
Yeah, I would.
Okay, come on up.
I'll make it fast. I tend to agree with Commissioner Fish. In the future, there will be cuts to state education funding, one way or the other, and these programs will try to seek Portland money. I'm more afraid of things like pollution, transportation issues, rather than whether we have increasing budgets for schools, because they will be cut.
Thank you.
Could you put your name in the record, please?
He did.
He did all right? Yeah, I missed your name, sorry.
Oh, Mr. Shedrick.
Yes, Shedrick. Okay. Anyone else? Then let's take a vote, please.
Fish?
I'm sorry our colleague, Commissioner Novick's not here to take a bow and to offer his praise for this unique partnership. He's on, a well-deserved vacation after the election. I want to thank everyone that's taken the time to come testify, and particularly the young man from De La Salle. I don't remember being that poised and that self-confident as a sophomore in high school. Congratulations, and for your involvement. And if you could let us know, is your blog accessible? Can we all find it? Okay, well, I'm sure we'll all be looking at it later. This seems like a wonderful idea, and I regret that as part of the presentation to council, we got sidetracked with stuff about the comp plan and leadership and the bureaus and other things. Those are good subjects for a conversation. I think they're a bit of a non sequitur, maybe a little unfair to the people that were called out, since we're not going to have an opportunity to respond. And I think in the future, with invited testimony, we're going to have to be clear about guidelines. Anyway, congratulations to everyone who made this a day possible. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to commend everybody who's had something to do with One North. It's a very exciting, cutting-edge, environmentally conscious project. And it's just amazing. I've met with Mr. Kaiser before about it and learned about, I think you're using cross-laminated timber, which is one of the new building materials that not only sequesters carbon, as was mentioned, but is a domestic Oregon resource. And it's great to be able to support Oregonians working. And I think the partnership with Catlin Gable and De La Salle and Kairos PDX and everybody else is just fantastic. So congratulations. Aye.
Fritz.
Yes, thank you to all the partners on this and for coming in to tell us about it. Thanks to Metro for providing the Nature in the Neighborhood grants, and Mary Rose Navarro for your management of that progress. And thank you for the taxpayers who are supporting those funding. I'm very excited that this is a Department of Transportation, Bureau of Transportation easement rather than a parks easement. This is exactly the kind of thing that I think we should be looking at, the right-of-way and public easements to provide things that recognize that pedestrians and people who use wheelchairs and others are also entitled to spaces that are multifunctional. So I think it's terrific that it's a PBOT easement and that the developer will be maintaining and monitoring the space. So congratulations to all the partners. Aye.
Else?
Yeah, I had a chance to walk this project earlier in its development, and it really is a visionary piece of work, and I appreciate all the partners coming together to actually make it happen. Thank you very much. Aye. Okay, let's